I want to remind you that Monday is Memorial Day. There'll be a lot of people that'll go to the lake and the beach and have ball games and get to stay home from work, and they'll watch TV and do things like that, maybe have a picnic. Nothing wrong with any of those things. There'll also be a lot of veterans go out and get a discounted meal or maybe a free meal. A lot of people tell veterans thank you and appreciate your service and things like that, because they'll see us around with hats on that say Army and Marines and Air Force and Navy and all that sort of thing. But I would remind you that none of those reasons is why Memorial Day is here. Memorial Day is for us to remember the fallen, those who died in the wars, those who were killed in action. And we've had millions over the many, many wars that have been fought, people of the United States of America. Over 600,000 died in the Civil War because both sides were Americans. And the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, just those together is the bulk of the people who died serving the country, and so we remember them, and they were to be remembered by decorating their graves and that sort of thing. That's how Memorial Day got started, was women decorating graves impressed a commanding general who instituted Memorial Day for that reason. I will probably go to our sons for a cookout with them. And if I get to stay home any, I'll probably watch the services at Arlington, at the National Cemetery. Enjoy seeing the military bands and the tributes there and that sort of thing. They do a, you know, a Hollywood-style first-class entertainment out of it, but it's done it in a right way. I like to hear the military bands. So don't forget about Monday. There'll be an office holiday for the church. The guys that work in the office won't be here on Monday. And I hope all of you enjoy the Memorial weekend and some time on Monday. Chapter 4 in the Gospel of John, and beginning with verse 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. And cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And we're looking at the outline I gave you for tonight. John records Jesus saying, I must needs go through Samaria. It was here he visited Jacob's well. It was here he dealt with the woman of Samaria. And in turn, after the woman was saved and went back into the city and told the people of meeting Jesus, then many followed her out to see for themselves who this was and what all he could do. Now we must remember some things as we look at this must be part of the work. We must remember people are important to God. I remember many years ago when that popular song came out called People Need the Lord. I was moved by its lyrics. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? It's a good reminder to me that we need to be aware that people are lost and they need the Lord. People are out of church and they need to come back to the Lord. We see when people do not know the Lord, their actions usually reveal it. Their conversation, their language, their thought pattern of what they think is important in life, how they talk and how they relate to you. Joy and I went to her 50th high school reunion the other night, and they met at that place called Friendly's for a meal and to gather. And then the next night, they were having something else. So we knew some of them would be drinking, and so we didn't want to stay long, but we went to see a few people she knew and get a burger. And while we were there, some people introduced me to a man that graduated about the year she did, and they were saying, you know, you've had some kidney stone trouble, you know, that he just had this same thing you had, you know, and he started telling me about it, and about every other word was a foul language, you know, and so I was anxious for him to finish telling me so I could, rather than just turn around and walk off from him, you know, I certainly don't want to speak that way, and I hope I could be a witness to him, but when somebody's drinking and using bad language, is probably the wrong time to try to be a witness to them like that. We have to remember that God gave his son to die for sinful man, just like that person, just like I was before I got saved. That's how important we are to God, that he gave his son that we might have eternal life. We should be reminded Christ must needs go through Samaria. Was it for this one woman? God knew not only this one woman would become a believer, but that those in the city that came out would all become believers. And God knows all about that. And so he came here, even though there was not a unity between the Jews and the Samaritans. Now we rejoice that God has saved us, but we must never forget there are many around us who are lost. Many who need to know the Lord. Many who need someone to show them the way. What's important to us, will it move us to say, we must do this or we must get something done? Usually it has to be pretty important if it's going to get into a category where we would use that term, I must do this. Some folks wish they had more education, but they won't pay the price of what it costs to be able to do that. You can achieve degrees online today. You can go to school at night. You can take extension courses and all that sort of thing. It takes time, it pays a price, and many people do that, and they better themselves. They get a better career. They get paid a better wage because they get more education. I must needs. What must you do? Is there something you must do? You're a husband and a wife and a family. There are needs that you must do. I heard a story about a guy coming down a hill at a golf course, and he was in an angry hurry in a golf cart. He jumped out, grabbed his golf bag, and threw it in the lake. And a guy who was standing near there observing said he was waiting and figured that he'd wait a while, and if a guy didn't come back and get his golf bag out of the lake, then he was going to go get it himself and keep the clubs, you know. And sure enough, a little while, here came the golf cart flying back down the hill again. The guy locked it down and jumped out, took his shoes off, went in the pond. He had to dive underwater a couple of times, and he come up with the bag. He got out and pulled the bag out, and he unzipped it, reached in and got his keys out, zipped the bag back, and threw it even farther out in the deeper part of the lake I guess he was giving up playing golf forever, but something was important enough to him, he had to come back. It wasn't the bag. It wasn't the golf clubs. Those weren't important enough to him to make him go swimming. He had those fancy towels and covers on his golf clubs. He had balls in the bag. None of that moved him to be, I must go get my bag. But his car keys and probably his house keys on that key ring were important enough to him that he had to go get them. And he did. I wonder what's important enough for us to say, I must do this. Are souls of men important enough to say, I must be a witness for Christ? I must tell others about the Lord. I must invite my neighbors to church. Do we see the importance of being a witness? Do we see the importance of praying? Do we have the attitude, I must pray? Because God's word teaches us to pray for all men, and especially those in authority, because God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. What are we doing about that? Can we say, I must pray, I must be a witness, I must see that all men have the opportunity to be saved? We can only be responsible for those that we have contact with. The Bible speaks of the Apostle Paul. He speaks of himself as he neared death. He said he was free from the blood of all men. I can't tell you how many times I've spoke to somebody briefly, and then they walked away, or I walked away, and then it dawned on me, I should have had a tract in my pocket to give them. I should have witnessed to them. Now, I probably didn't talk to anybody very long that I didn't invite them to church and maybe share with them that my wife and I were saved, but did I take the time to do as much as I should? Will we as a church say we must bear fruit for God? Look at the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So do we have that attitude that I must bear fruit for God? Do we have that attitude, I must be a laborer in the work of the Lord? God wants people to be saved. Will we say, God, I want to become a better witness so that I can say I must be a witness for the Lord? I must tell people about how good God is. I must tell people how much God loves them, just as we have experienced how much God loves us. In Matthew 7 and verse 13 and 14, too many are on the wrong road, which leads to destruction. I must tell them how to get to heaven from South Carolina. We've got some new gospel tracts that just came in. That's what they have written on them, how to get to heaven from South Carolina. We can take those and give them to somebody. Help them to just a gospel tract when they opened up, it's how to get to heaven. And it doesn't matter what state you're coming from. Even up north, you can get there from that gospel tract telling you how to be saved. And praise the Lord for that. They must be told. They must be shown the right way. Our society is generally not concerned about that. They're more concerned with the economy than they are with eternity. They're more concerned when they hear about a tragedy like this, or the tragedy of the Ukraine, than they are the triumph of souls being saved, and the concern about getting people saved before they face some of these awful tragedies. The people who usually have decent jobs, have a home or a place to live, they have a car to drive, they have groceries to eat, they don't see themselves in need. They don't say, "I must find out how to be saved." They're blind to the truth and following the path of society in which they live, where they feel they're as good as anyone else and they don't need to change anything in their life. They're unaware that any day their life could be over. Any day the Lord could call us to heaven to be with Him for any more. But we must be aware of that we realize there's an urgency about the work we're doing, that we get the message out while we have the opportunity to do so. You and I feel we must be faithful in church because of what the Bible teaches. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Read verse 22 through 25. Hebrews 10:22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So much the more we are to encourage one another and encourage people to attend the church services while they have the opportunity. We feel we must live right and do right and produce righteousness from our lives. We also feel we need to tell others about the Lord. And we have answers that other people need. But we seem to have our want to hindered by the busy schedule and the obligations that we have. We must study and learn the Bible so we can tell people how to be saved, so we can answer their questions about the Word of God. In John 9:4, Jesus said, "must" again. Look there with me, if you would, the Gospel of John, chapter 9, and verse number 4. Back up to verse 1, read this for context. "As Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth, and His disciples asked Him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.'" He said, "I must work the works of Him that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work." That is not just a must that Jesus says, it's something we must say also. While it is day, because the night comes when no man can work. Jesus made clay and anointed the eyes of the blind man and healed him. And you and I must see that our window of opportunity to witness for the Lord could be over at any time. We must work the works while there's the opportunity. The night of death could come. The night of death could come for the person that we want to witness to, or the night of death could come for us ourselves. The night of poor health could come, a loss of hearing, a loss of motivation to listen or to get out and go because of health could happen at any time, strokes and that sort of thing. The night of opportunity can be over in a moment. You must influence your children while you have the opportunity. Because all of you here that have children that are grown know that your influence in their lives does not continue after they're grown like it does while they're young under your care. I was just thinking today, our son will be 45, one of our oldest son will be 45 years old May 31st. And our oldest child is our daughter Nikki that lives in Georgetown. And she'll be 48 years old June 22nd. I can remember when they would walk behind me and do just about everything I told them to do. And if they didn't, they got a little pop on their bottom. And it reminded them to be obedient and to do what they were told to do. And I had influence over them. They would pray. We'd sit in a restaurant eating a hamburger somewhere, and they would take gospel tracts and give them to people in the restaurant, you know. Why would they do that? Because they'd seen us do that. And they were following the example that we had laid down. We've got to influence our young people while they're young, because those opportunities to be with them and to help them make decisions will be over all too soon. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came to seek and to save what was lost. And people are lost. You can't do it all, but you can do something. You must do something. Jesus went around seeking out sinners everywhere he went, from place to place, house to house, and city to city. I, again, think about these third and fourth graders that were murdered. And I think about the important work we do as a church with our children, the Sunday school, the junior church, the master club. For many, many years, Miss Diane and Miss Nanette used to have a Sunday night program. While we were having preaching in here, they were teaching the children music and Christian songs, that they would get the gospel through the lyrics of the songs and learn how to sing. And once a quarter or something like that, they'd sing, as they called it, in the big church. You know, they'd come up here and sing. And Nanette is working very hard to provide her own living since her husband's death. And she has to teach music and just can't be here on Sunday night at that time to do that as she used to be. The need is urgent. People need the Lord. People need church. People need to know about the Bible. They need to know what you know. And those people out in the world are in danger. They're like small animals being observed by a roaring lion who's seeking to devour them. 1 Peter 5:8. You go around a water hole in Africa and these animals gather for water, and those lion groups would gather and roar, and some of the animals would run and they would attack the little one, or the one that got stuck in the mud for a minute, or one that fell behind or was limping or something of that nature. And they would have themselves a meal courtesy of the slow one. The early church met daily, and from house to house they gave the gospel to their friends and family and people of their city. In Acts 5:42, they continued daily. The Bible says that the teaching is that people at their worst need Christians at their best to be a witness and a testimony unto them. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We will give an account of our life and how we've spent our time. What's more important, the things of God or the entertainment of the world? We must be careful what we put ahead of the things of the Lord. We must find time to to spend some time in prayer and a devotion and time in our reading and study of the Word of God. It doesn't take gigantic hours of time. Matter of fact, probably all you'd have to do is turn the TV off for an hour and you could get your reading and prayer time done every day. And which one's the most important? Well, we've got to see things as Jesus did, what he must do. He must work the works. He knew exactly how much time he had. You'll remember the patience of God that Jesus waited until he was about 33 years of age to be baptized by John and be declared a rabbi of that day and begin his ministry. I guess it was 30 years, and he died at about 33. So for about 3 years, he ministered. But he waited until he was 30. Why? Because that was the custom of the people. They would not have respected him for his age without waiting for that and going through that process. And God has waited all this time so that more could be saved. God's not slack in that he has not come and got us and has not brought judgment upon the world. But he is long-suffering to usward. God wants men to be saved. Christ died so that people can be saved. We must tell them the story of the Lord. Tell them about the love of God. Tell them about the goodness of God. Tell them about the peace of God that passes all understanding. For a while, I stayed in the habit of waitresses and people like that that I'd get a chance to talk to. I'd say, has anybody told you today how much God loves you? Very few times anybody ever said yes. Most of the time, they'd say, no, nobody's told me that today. And sometimes when I would say something like that to maybe a nurse at a hospital, she'd say, preacher, please pray for us. Pray for me with the job we do here. Pray that we can minister to these people and have the strength to continue and do the job and that the Lord would bless. And I learned early on to say, let me hold your hand. We'll pray right now. Because if you say, yeah, I'll pray for you, that really doesn't mean as much because they don't know if you prayed or not. And sometimes we forget. But you can pray right then. The other night we got ready to leave that restaurant. I reached in my billfold to pull out one of my business cards, and I didn't have any. I usually have those invite cards and my personal cards, and I didn't have either one. So I went to the waitress, and I gave her a good tip, and I said, young lady, you did a very good job. You got a very busy night here, and you did a good job. And I put my hand on her arm. I said, I'm a pastor in Fort Mill at Bible Baptist Church. If you ever need a church to go to, we'd love for you to come and visit with us. She said, I got chill bumps all up and down me. I said, that's not me, honey. That's the Lord. I hope that young lady will come. I don't know what her work schedule is. I don't know what her family life is like. But for a moment there, the Spirit of God made her feel a touch. And I pray that the Lord would use your witness and my witness to help people come and get hold of God. And let's pray this church will be the kind of place when people come here, they can find out how to get to heaven from South Carolina. Father, I thank you for your people being here tonight in the service. Bless them as they travel back home. Keep them safe, we pray. We pray about these tragedies we've heard about, Lord, and all the grief that is going on because of it. I hope these politicians that will try to use these things as tools to gain political influence will get lockjaw before they'll start doing that kind of stuff. And I pray that we'll look to the Lord and say, wouldn't it be something if the public school allowed a chaplain to come in and have a chapel service and tell these boys and girls how to be saved? So if some tragedy like this were to happen, we'd know that they knew the Lord as their Savior, and they'd be safe and secure. So, Father, we pray that you'd receive our praise and our thanks. We thank you for saving us. Thank you for helping us to be teachers and preachers of the Word of God. And help us to have that attitude. We must do these things while we have the opportunity. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Diane will play a verse.